But today, Easter is a special day, because 1,992 years ago, this week is what we know as Passion Week. Today concludes what as many would call also the Holy Week, because Jesus, God in the flesh, demonstrated his love through the suffering that he accepted upon himself in order to honor the Father and offer payment for our sins. We can celebrate. We don't come today to cry and to mourn. We come to celebrate that Jesus is alive and well. That tomb was empty. To make sense of Easter, though, we need to go back to the birth of Jesus. And so I want us to walk through just a little bit of the life of Christ. And some like this service more than any other service of the year, partly because of the kids, but they know my messages are the shortest. Someone actually told me today that if it's too long, they'll just walk out because it's supposed to be real short. They said 5 minutes, and I'm like, well, now you're pushing. I am Baptist pastor. You know, when I say short message, I'm usually lying. And but on Christmas, what do we celebrate? The birth of Jesus. The truth is, it's not the creation of Jesus, but the incarnation of Jesus. Because as he came, we were told what he really is called. Emmanuel. That means God with us. That God came to walk with us. That's why John chapter 1 tells us that God put on flesh and dwelt amongst us. And so at Christmas, we celebrate that God came to live with us. And that's where it started. That's a prophecy that God had told us for hundreds of years started kicking in. You know, after Jesus had grown for about 30 years, he was about 30 years old, and he was a man of that culture accepted as a man of age that could be trusted. At 30 years of age, and he had a good reputation, he remained faithful to his holy character as God. He started what we know as his earthly ministry. And as Jesus walked past one day, a group of men that were being baptized, there was a man there by the name of John the Baptist. And as he walked past this man, John the Baptist, who was known as the forerunner of Christ, his whole life was set apart to prepare people for the kingdom of God, Jesus Christ himself to come. John the Baptist declares, as he sees Jesus walking by, he declared the coming of the Messiah. He declared who this man Jesus was. And John 1:29 says, the next day, John seeth Jesus coming unto him and said, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. This is the message of the kids today, that Jesus is the Lamb of God. And he's been declared here the Lamb of God. Now, we're going to get to Luke 24 in a little bit, if that's where you want to meet with me. But this, as John the Baptist declared him as the Lamb of God, told what his job was, too. He takes away the sins of the world. With his declaration of him being the Lamb of God, would have quickly revealed to the Jews who he was. They would understand. Because lambs were such an important part of their religion. Two things to understand. When they heard the Lamb of God, they would kick into two different thought patterns. They would think first back of the lamb that they used during the plagues, 1,500 years before this time, when they were trapped in Egypt, and God was getting them out, and he sent 10 different plagues. That last plague would require the oldest son of each family. But he told the Jews, if in obedience to me, you will kill the lamb, and you will spread the blood of the lamb upon your doorpost, the angel of death will fly by. And in obedience, they accepted that, and they took the blood of that lamb, and they put it on the doorpost, and they saw no death. But what they could hear was the Egyptians mourning and screaming as they found their sons dead. They knew that the lamb that God told them to use protected them from death. So when John the Baptist declared the Lamb of God, their mind would go into those stories that they had heard that had been passed down from generation to generation, reminding them of the goodness of God. But they would also remember what was going on at that time. The Lamb of God would remind them of the Jews, of the temples. As they would go to the temple of God, there was sacrifices taken on every day. That a lamb would be brought into the temple, and it would be sacrificed, and the shedding of the blood of the lamb would show the faith and obedience as they would offer that lamb unto God. And God offered forgiveness to the people because of their faith. So when John the Baptist said, "Behold the Lamb of God," they could remember, oh, we use a lamb in obedience to God. We use a lamb to shed that blood so that God will forgive us of our sins. And John said, there's the lamb that your little lambs were representing. There is the Lamb of God. You know, the Jews were familiar with lambs, and God used the lambs as a picture of the coming Savior, of the Messiah, and he would send the perfect lamb. All those little lambs before were just representing. They were a picture of faith. They were a picture of we trust God to send the lamb. Now Jesus is the lamb that came to earth. Jesus was the holy, spotless lamb. Listen to what Peter said in 1 Peter 1:18. It says this, "For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your father, says, but with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish and without spot." He says, this lamb, the Lamb of God, is the perfect lamb, the perfect sacrifice, the perfect one sent by God. So much so that he was the perfect sacrifice. Hebrews 9 and 10 tells us that once the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, was sacrificed, no other lamb would suffice. There was no need to take little lambs to the temple anymore. There was no need of shedding an animal blood because that was just representative. The true, the perfect, and the real sacrifice has taken place. And this sacrifice is what John the Baptist was prepared for. See, no longer do they need the animal blood. They place faith in the real Lamb of God, Jesus Christ. He would bring forgiveness and salvation, which those other ones just represented for us. See, this Lamb of God, Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us, flesh, has accepted this ministry, a ministry of suffering. Throughout his years of ministry, he suffered. He was hated. They tried to stone him. They rejected him. This was a ministry of death that he endured. A ministry that would offer salvation to all men. And he accepted this. But that salvation would only be offered. It's only given to those who come to him by faith and call upon his name for salvation. So Jesus came to earth and he taught. He set an example of holiness for you and I. He performed many miracles showing his power of God. And then finally, Passion Week arrived. As we looked at last week, it started so beautifully. As people were dropping their coats in the streets, waving palm branches and throwing them down so Jesus could walk over them, hailing him as King, as the Messiah, as the one sent by God. But things got ugly. Before long, Jesus was betrayed by one of his own. One that he had just washed the feet of. He had taught. He had called. And with that one that rejected him, he brought a band of soldiers who came after Jesus. And they came with weapons as if to arrest a violent criminal. Think about this week. Jesus knew he was going to take this on. But he knew the cost of our sin was great. Jesus was beaten with rods. He was punched. His beard was ripped out of his face. They shredded his body with cat of nine tails, literally puncturing and ripping his skin open. A painful crown was jammed upon his head. A robe was placed upon his body. You see what's happening is the blood of the Lamb was being shed, just like they had to do throughout the Old Testament and up to this day for the forgiveness of sins. A robe was placed to cover his body so that they could mock him as if he was king. Then they made him carry the crossbeam of the very cross that he would hang on. His arms were stretched out, nails placed through his hands. His feet were nailed. And then they put a sign above his head in an attempt to mock him, saying in three different languages, proclaiming, King of the Jews. They tried to mock him, but they did not realize they were prophesying who he truly was. Finally, they would lift this cross and they would drop it into a hole, jerking his whole body against those nails that were through his hands and in his feet. For after about 6 hours of agonizing pain, the continued mocking, he gave up the ghost, claiming some powerful words, "It is finished." Payment for sin is complete. I have accomplished what I came for. I have demonstrated the love that I have for you. And to make sure he was dead, the soldiers brought a spear and put it through his side. And then they would be buried into a tomb. That tomb would be sealed with a signet, letting anybody know that if you touch this without the king's permission, you would be killed. There were shifts of different Roman soldiers, four at a time, that would come and protect this so no one would bother the body. But we're here today because things didn't end there. We're here today because we celebrate that he did as he said he would do, as he promised he would do. So far, all we have seen is that a Lamb of God was slain. He was killed. His blood was shed. The Lamb of God has been given as sacrifice for our sins. However, this lamb was not like any other lambs that they had ever offered to God. This lamb, Jesus Christ, was much greater. He had a greater purpose. He had greater power. And in Luke chapter 24, if you'd open there with me, if you have your Bible. And here's why we are here today. And as we read through here, in a handful of verses, "Now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulchre, bringing spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre. And they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid, and bowed down their faces into the earth, they said unto them, Why seek ye the living among the dead? He's not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, and be crucified, and on the third day raised again? And they remembered his words, and returned from the sepulchre, and told all these things unto the 11, and to all the rest." See, these ladies who loved Jesus came here for the body, early, to anoint the body. And they arrived, and they were freaked out right away because the tomb was open. If you've ever gone to a loved one's grave to honor, respect, and that thing's open, you're going to freak out a little bit. I don't ever want to experience that. Grave, the tomb open. They're a little bit freaked out. The body's missing. And if that wasn't enough to freak them out, did you catch who was there? Two men in shining robes. Another one of the Gospels is real clear, just so you don't mistake, they're angels. Angels, what that means is they're messengers, okay? Don't make some pretty little picture of angels, because we're not to worship angels. They are messengers from the one we do worship. And these angels came at this tomb knowing they're freaked out. Now they're really freaked out. They fall face first into the ground. But what these angels do? They reminded them. They comforted them. They told these ladies, Jesus did as he told you to do. Oh, sometimes it's so hard to trust God to do what he promises. It's so hard sometimes to trust and be obedient to his call and know that he's going to work it out for his glory and for our good. These ladies here were just reminded, listen, God told you that he would do just what he did. And what they did, and they looked in the grave, and they said, why are you looking for someone that's dead amongst the dead? You're looking for someone that's living amongst the dead. He's no longer dead. He's alive. You see, the rock there in front of this tomb took a lot of people to move. This wasn't something that somebody could just come up and push. This was a huge boulder in front of this tomb, and it was sealed. Understand here, the rock was not moved so that Jesus could get out. The rock was moved so that we could see he did what he told us he was going to do. Jesus said, I will be back with you. And you know what? He's back. And what's really cool, after he rose from that tomb, he didn't go right into heaven. He walked the earth for 40 days, presenting himself to his people, presenting him to the believers, presenting himself to the apostles, presenting himself to the disciples, encouraging those that are scared, saying, here I am, the fulfillment of my promise. Here's what I have done. You can see, you can put your hand in the hole of the nail. You can put your hand in the hole of my side where they put the spear. Understand this. That lamb had the power over death. That power offers you and I eternal life. Death couldn't keep him in the grave. He paid for the sin. He offers salvation to all men. And he's going to give eternal life to those who believe and place faith in him. But understand, Jesus resurrected. Jesus, the Lamb of God, took on the Father's plan. Jesus, the Son of God, God himself, placed inside of flesh and come to dwell amongst us, was fulfilling the plan created by the Father. And what is that plan? If you know it, say it with me. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. That's the plan of the Father. That he gave his own Son, so that whoever believes in him should not perish. The wages of sin is death. The only reason you and I know death on this earth today is because sin entered the world. And Scripture says death by sin. Sin created death for us. And so you and I, unfortunately, all know death all too well. Since I've come into ministry, I've done way too many funerals. And they don't get easier. They get tougher. They get harder. And the hard thing to know is I'll see more unless I'm next. And here's a promise for each one of us that God has made. It's appointed a man once to die. 10 out of 10 of us are going to die. I know we don't like talking about this part. This is the hard part to confront, that death is knocking at our door. We don't know that each one of us is going to make it home. What I do know is that you better prepared. You better be prepared when death does come knocking. Because God offers eternal life to the soul of man. If you place faith in Jesus Christ, you know why his payment takes care of us? You know why he can absorb the sin from us? In 2 Corinthians 5:20 says, for he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. the Holy Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, who had no sins, took on our sin. He took on your sinfulness. He took on your lies. He took on your perverted thoughts. He took on your disrespect, your selfishness, your greed. And he gave you his righteousness. He gave you his holiness. When you call upon his name, you see, the Holy One died in your place. And he does this for all who place faith in him. Here's how simple it is. I'm about to close up, but give me your ear. Listen to this. In Romans 10 says, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shall be saved. And he continues, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Once you recognize you have sinned against the Holy God, you simply need to confess your sinfulness before him. Believe that Jesus Christ is God and able to offer you salvation. And when that comes together, you call out to him in faith and he will save you from what you deserve. Understand, the work of salvation is done. The Holy Lamb has been slain and his blood was voluntarily poured for you. It's not about you doing enough good works. It's not enough about you giving the church plenty of your money. We accept. But that doesn't bring salvation to you. It's not about you going to church on a regular basis. That's something that when you come to know Christ, you should desire. It's about you placing faith in the person and the work of Jesus Christ, to where you want to understand him and know him and walk with him. That's all he calls us to do, to walk by faith in him. He tells you to call upon his name for salvation. And I'd love to show you in God's word how you can be saved. So don't feel like you got to run away today. Just hang out. We'll go in private, show you in God's word how you can be saved. It's simple. Why? Why is it simple? When the work is done, it's simple. It's not easy to do, though. Because he calls us to repentance. When he calls us to himself, it means we got to turn away from sin to walk with him. That's the hard part. The easy part is when we understand the promises he's given to us, the work he has done for us. So I challenge you, before you walk out these doors today, do you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? Do you know that when he rose from the dead, he has the power to give salvation? And so therefore you called out to him, Lord, save me. Because I'm not worthy. I accept. See, this is the greatest celebration of all. We call Easter. Resurrection Sunday. While we deserve death and a separation of God, he took on suffering. He took on sin. He took on death so that you and I could have eternal life. Is that worthy of our celebration? Is that worthy of our praise? Would you stand with me? I'm going to ask the kids to come up and take the stage. Come on up here, kids. If you were in that play, come on up here. Lead us in a song as we're going to close today. They're looking at me like, are you sure? I don't know. Now, they want you to back them up, so don't be shy. Sing loud with me today. Let them lead you. As you know the song, we're going to sing the first and third verses of Christ Arose. And guys, we need you to sing as loud as you can. Can you do that? Don't act shy and then say yeah. Yeah? All right, here we go. Let's sing together. Thank you. leadership up here. Thank you, guys. You guys are awesome. And thank you for coming today. Hope you have a blessed resurrection day. Don't leave the church forgetting what the purpose is. Take a bulletin with you. It makes it easy to walk through with your family from the promise of the coming of Christ to the resurrection of Christ in about 10 minutes. Very condensed, but I hope it's a blessing to you. Don't run out. Shake someone's hand. Give someone a hug and wish them a happy Easter. But let's close in a word of prayer and thank God. Yep. Oh, yeah, we got something major. I almost forgot.